You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by the producer of the Midday Show, Drew Nixon, joins us on the show today. We'll get his thoughts on what he thinks the Kansas City Chiefs should do as we are about 27, 28 hours away from the first round of the NFL draft. Drew, how you doing today, my man? Drew, have you ever been a guest on the show?
I have not been a guest yet on the drive. I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing?
Doing good, man. Happy to have you join us on the show today. I guess let's start with this. You are a Bengals fan. I think everybody knows this about you now. If you listen to 610 Sports, what do you make of the contract that Amon-Ra St. Brown got? Because you know what this means for your guy, T. Higgins.
Yeah, it means that he is going to be I'm sure he's got a pep in his step today a little bit more after seeing the money that he just made. And it also means that, I mean, what comes next for, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and the other guys who are next, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, to get those contracts. So the Bengals will have to pay Ja'Marr, and T will be going somewhere else probably, but he's got to be very, very happy with what Amon-Ra St. Brown just got today.
What do you think happens eventually with T. Higgins? Do you think he's going to be in Cincinnati long term, or do you think inevitably they're going to have to trade him at the end of this season because they're not going to be able to pay him, Burrow, and Ja'Marr Chase?
Yeah, I think that last part is just it, is they're going to have to move on from him because the money that Joe Burrow is getting, the cap starts to hit heavier as we go along, of course, starting in the next couple of seasons. You're going to want to pay Ja'Marr Chase that money and move on from there. And when you have an elite quarterback, when you have an elite wide receiver and you're paying both of them top-tier money, it's really difficult to get another really good number two option there who wants to get paid just as much. So they're going to have to fall into that position where they got to just be successful in the draft like the Chiefs have been at getting guys in and hope that it pans out.
Right now we're talking to Drew Nixon, getting his thoughts on what the Chiefs should do in the first round of the NFL draft. All right, we talked about your team. Let's talk about the local team, the Kansas City Chiefs. You follow this team closely enough. In the first round, they have two pretty major needs, whether it's wide receiver or left tackle, offensive line. What do you think they should do?
I think, well, first things first, they need to be assertive. Based on what we're hearing, you know, regarding the tackles, they have to, if they're going to get a tackle, I think they need to be proactive instead of reactive. And in the situation of, if they like a guy enough, they need to move up to get somebody, I think, in regards to who they like. In terms of course, you can talk about the arm length, like Jay Binkley always loves to talk about in regards to what fits the Chiefs. There's a certain amount of guys that have played a lot of left tackle, Kingsley Suamataia, and then others who could go a little bit higher. If they want a wide receiver, the aggression is going to have to be just the same. A.D. Mitchell fits a lot, but if they stand pat at 32, I think that Ladd McConkey is a guy that really fits what they need in a wide receiver. They have Hollywood Brown. They have Rashee Rice, and I know Rashee's going to – we don't know, but he could in all likelihood be suspended for some period of time over the season. Ladd McConkey is a guy that isn't going to be a number one potentially, but fills that need of a number three that you can put on the field right away. Good route running, reliable guy in terms of pass catching. He's one that fits really well, I think, in terms of where the Chiefs might end up picking from tomorrow night.
Right now, we're talking to Drew Nixon here for a couple more minutes, getting his thoughts on what the Chiefs should potentially do in the first round. Drew, is there a wide receiver that you like? I mean, there's a lot of those guys that are in that second and third tier that we believe are going to be around when Kansas City selects. Is there a wide receiver that you like more than the other ones?
I think in terms of the tiers, Brian Thomas Jr. would be a home run if they could get him. They would have to trade up in all likelihood to get him. But if he somehow slips into the 20s, maybe Brevich is like, you know what, we're going to go after him. because we like him so much. A.D. Mitchell seems to be the best fit with what the Chiefs are going to do, but I think they're going to need to move up to get him. So it depends on how comfortable they are moving. And also, I mean, the Chiefs can be comfortable with moving up or want to move up, but who's willing to work with the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe the Dallas Cowboys at 24? I think A.D. Mitchell fits the best, but I don't know if they end up with him. I'd say Ladd McConkey fits the most at 32, but A.D. Mitchell is the guy that I would be wanting most if I were the Kansas City Chiefs.
That is Drew Nixon joining us on the show today to give us his thoughts on what the Chiefs could potentially do in round one of the NFL draft. Drew, man, we appreciate you joining us on the show. You're a friend of the show technically, but you got to come on at least two more times before we make it official.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's Drew Nixon joining us on the show today. Just wanted to get his thoughts about what the Chiefs should potentially do in round one of the NFL draft. Coming up in a bit, we'll be joined by Josh Klingler. We'll get his thoughts on what the Chiefs should do. We haven't talked a whole lot of Royals today. Been kind of staying away from it with the NFL draft right around the corner. Let's get back to the Royals here before we get back to the NFL draft. Vern was on Fesco in the morning yesterday, and he said this about the Royals.
The reason why maintain through May has been my mantra is if they're able to do that, to me, everybody in that clubhouse is going to have that confidence-building moment, especially those young hitters and those young relievers that need it. And if this team over the first 2 months, which we still have 32 games remaining until we get to the end of May, 25 of those 32 are against teams with a 500 or better record. If the Royals are in it at the end of May, I have to imagine that clubhouse is going to get an influx of confidence that we haven't seen in quite some time that's going to allow them to, you know, attack June, attack July, months, pressure, games that, again, Bobby and MJ and these guys have never played in a meaningful game outside of the month of May.
The Royals yesterday, they win their game against the Toronto Blue Jays. They are 1-1 in the series. I mean, my goal for the Royals is a simple one. Win today. If you win today, you have at least locked yourself in a split of the series, and you go into tomorrow's game with a chance to win 3 out of 4 against the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays won 89 games last year. They're a team that you know is going to be in the wild card picture at the end of the season. This is really measuring yourself up against some of the better teams in the American League. So I'm with it. I am here for the Royals continuing to be competitive. And I am really intrigued to see if they can win today. And I think yesterday's win is really encouraging just because their offense hasn't played great. I mean, they scored in one inning yesterday. In that one inning, they did just enough. They scored the 3 runs. They take the 3-2 lead. Their bullpen holds on the rest of the way. And they go on and they win a low-scoring 3-2 ball game. You just got to find a way to at least win one more over these next two and at least guarantee yourself a split in the series.
I think last night is encouraging because I would say the offense was still bad last night. Like, 3 runs is not bad, but it's not like they were at 4-5. Last night was a pitcher's duel. And Carrington, even when the window was open, we saw the Royals lose games like last night a lot. They are going to be in games like that a lot this year because their pitching is so good. The pitching has been good enough where no one is asking the Royals to scratch across 5-6 runs a night to give them a chance. Hey, there are going to be those nights. They exist, but no one's saying night in, night out, we need 5 or we're in trouble. All they need is 3 or 4 a night. And last night, for basically 6 innings, the offense might as well have stayed in the clubhouse. They didn't show up, but they scratched out 3. Waka was good enough. He grit and grinded through. The bullpen was great. That's the kind of game we've seen Royals teams, even when the window was open, lose because they just didn't have enough offense, and eventually the pitching buckled. The pitching didn't buckle last night, so they're going to be in games like that all season.
Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Josh Klingler of the Chiefs Radio Network. He also is on Fesco in the morning. We'll get his thoughts. We'll also bounce around the entire first round of the NFL draft just to give you our thoughts. We'll bounce back and forth between the Chiefs and also just some general NFL draft stuff. We are a day away tomorrow, round one of the NFL draft. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you that tomorrow we are going to have an NFL draft party at the Landing in Liberty, brought to you by Hy-Vee, the proud official grocery sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Come out there. You got a chance to win some prizes. I'll be there. The whole 610 family will be there. And we'll just be hanging out watching the draft. Fun will be had. Kling up next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by De Pasquale Moore. Car, truck, or motorcycle wreck? Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
First to breaking news in Kansas City Sports Radio.
Breaking news coming out of the college football world. We don't get that very often in the middle of April, but Kansas State is going to start their season next year in Ireland. They are playing Iowa State. Iowa State and K-State, they are going to play each other next season, August 23rd, 2025 in Dublin, Ireland. They're taking that game out of the home stadiums, and they are taking that game over to Ireland. I wish I could give you an answer on which team is going to travel better for that, but that might be a game you might need to try to get over to across the pond. You got a year to get your coins together. I know they're going to have some package there with K-State and Iowa State, and oh, a time is going to be had over there. If you're the people in Ireland, I mean, used to get like Notre Dame, used to get Nebraska in these games. Now you get Iowa State. That's what you get now. Why are we doing the people of Ireland like this? What have they done to us?
They got a rivalry game. What are you talking about? Farmageddon is headed across the pond.
Okay. All right. I mean, the people in Kansas City, Missouri don't even care about Farmageddon. Now the people in Ireland care about this? This is just a road trip. I wanted to pass that information to you guys. August 23rd, 2025, K-State, Iowa State, Dublin, Ireland. Does sound like a time going to be had over there, Rob. We might need to try to pull some strings over there. Can we get a press pass? Can we get her credential? I would definitely go over there to Dublin, Ireland to see this. Let's go to the phone line. Somebody who I don't think has been to Dublin, Ireland, but I imagine would go. Josh Klingler joins us on the show today. Kling, how you doing, man?
Yeah, Farmageddon meets the potato famine. I what could go wrong? This sounds great. That's a great beer drinking trip too. I mean, that's gonna be fun.
Kling, which fan base do you think is going to travel better, Iowa State or K-State?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
it's close.
I mean, there's beer, so my people of Iowa like their beer. So I'd say maybe the Cyclones. I don't know. That'd be fun. That'd be a fun trip, though.
Right now, we're talking to our guy, Josh Klingler, joining us on the show today to get his thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, Kling, I'm sure you've been debating it on your show. There are two positions of need for the Kansas City Chiefs. One is left tackle. One is wide receiver. What do you want the Chiefs to do?
Well, I think their biggest need is left tackle. I just don't like where they're drafting at for that. So do they address that in the first pick? I'd say probably not. I just feel like it seems like wide receiver is the place to go with that first pick. And I think we'll all think wide receiver and tackle, and then they'll draft a corner or something. So I'm prepared for the surprise, but I think the biggest need is probably tackle. I mean, I don't think either Andy Reid or Brett Veach, you know, they didn't say anything that handed the keys over to, you know, anybody to play left tackle, right? So it's not Wanya Morris. It's his job to compete for, but certainly not his. And so to me, that left the door open for them looking for somebody in the draft possibly, but I you know, I've been leaning on Bank a little bit on this one. And, you know, can you get a starting left tackle at 32? Maybe not. So I got to think wide receiver. It just feels like the time's right.
Yeah, what I've kind of been like going back and forth on the whole time is, if this draft is as deep as people tell me that it is at wide receiver, then what's the harm in locking in your left tackle in the first round? Maybe you got to trade up to 21 to go get him. And then you got your second round pick still. All right, let's take another big swing in the second round and let's hope that we connect. I mean, if this draft class is as good as they tell me is, there's going to be a Pro Bowl all pro guy that's not selected in the first round. Why can't Kansas City find that player?
Yeah, and that could be an option too to kind of wait and move back, right? Depending on how it kind of shakes out as it gets closer to their pick, which I think seems like their method of operation. Like, we're either going to move to a certain range to get somebody that we didn't think was going to be there, or maybe we try to move back. I don't know. Are they getting people to trade with them at the top right now? Maybe not necessarily, but you know, if the pocket is essentially the same in that area where they pick, that does give you the flexibility to move up or back. But yeah, it just feels like to me that if you go in the early 20s, are you moving necessarily for the third or fourth best tackle, depending on what it is, or are you going and trying to get, you know, one of those first round wide receivers? I would just be surprised if they moved up and didn't go wide receiver and then try to address maybe offensive line a little bit later. Look, they've been good at offensive linemen later as well, right? So you don't have to necessarily get it there. I trust certainly their ability to train offensive linemen and then find them as well later in the draft. So I guess I wouldn't be shocked either way. Flexibility is good. Not having dire needs is even better. And so I think you're in a good spot if you have to pick at the end of the draft because you've had success and you don't have a ton of needs. It does give you the opportunity to be really flexible when you get to that pick.
Kling, is there a wide receiver in this draft class that you really like? Like, is there a guy? Are you a Ladd McConkey guy? Are you an A.D. Mitchell? Is there a wide receiver you want them to take?
Well, my one and only mock draft had 31 quarterbacks going ahead of Marvin Harrison, 32, to the Chiefs. So I'm sticking to that, or getting to four and getting Marvin Harrison Jr. So all Arizona wants is three first. I'll give them three number 32 picks and move up to four and take Marvin Harrison. So, but I think it's probably A.D. Mitchell in that area to me. I know Xavier Worthy probably had a lot of heat early just based on the speed and what have you. You know, A.D. Mitchell seems like a guy to me that has a lot of the kind of skill set that might be versatile in this offense. So, and at the spot that they're drafting, or maybe a little bit higher, depending on how it goes, you know, in the 20s, seems to be, you know, I don't know. Is it too obvious? I always worry, like, if a pick seems kind of too obvious, something weird will happen and, you know, that guy will go at 18 or something and they won't be doing that at 32. So, but it feels like Mitchell, which seems to be a lot of the mocks too, makes a lot of sense for the Chiefs.
No, a lot of the mocks do make a lot of sense. I think A.D. Mitchell makes a lot of sense. I like Xavier Worthy. I guess I'm a little scared off by just really fast speed guy. We're going to put him into the offense. Like, I feel like they've tried that six or seven times with guys, and it never works out how we think it's going to work out.
No, I'm pining like everybody else, right? We all want that 6'4" guy that can leap out of the gym and can run fast. So tall guy, long arms that can go get it if we need to, or can burn down the field. So, yeah. If that elusive guy is there, I would be all for that rather than what we feel like has been kind of the prototype, right, for the recent vintage of Chiefs wide receivers. I don't know. I think everybody wants a little bit different, right? Just a little bit different guy than you've had before. So I think Mitchell, though, does check a lot of boxes if they indeed go wide receiver at that spot.
That is our guy, Josh Klingler, joining us on the show today to give us his thoughts on what he thinks the Chiefs should do in round one of the NFL draft. Kling, I always appreciate your time, man. Thanks a lot for hopping on today.
You bet, C-Dot.
Absolutely. That's Josh Klingler joining us on the show today. We have one more person to get to. Cody Tapp is going to join us here coming up in 5 minutes. He is the last person that we need to get their opinion on what he thinks the Chiefs should do in the NFL draft. Today, we saw Amon-Ra St. Brown. We saw him get the absolute bag earlier today, which leads us to the question. Now here's where Brandon Ayuk comes in. Hey, well, we just saw a guy get paid. He's the highest paid wide receiver in the history of the National Football League. There's a handful of guys that are clearly looking for new deals. What does that mean for Brandon Ayuk? Here's Ian Rappaport.
I would say this pretty confidently. Whatever the 49ers will pay Brandon Ayuk, who they really, really like as a player who they developed all the way through, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a team that's willing to pay him more. That's actually not really the question. The question really is, does Brandon Ayuk want to stay in San Francisco with a team that's awesome and will probably be very good for a long time? Are they going to pay him the most in the NFL? Maybe not. They got a good team. They want to keep it together. But would it be enough to keep him? I'm kind of with you. I'm leaning more as of right now of him potentially staying, but this story has not yet been written fully at all.
That is Ian Rappaport of NFL Network joining us, not joining us. He was on NFL Network earlier today giving his thoughts on Brandon Ayuk and what could potentially happen with him. Rob, you know, I've been saying this for a month now. I think there is a draft day trade that is going to happen. I continue to maintain that it will be Brandon Ayuk. I think if you're San Francisco, you're sort of holding out to the final minute to try to see the most you can get. But if there is one, I would say, undeniable fact about the National Football League is it is hard to make unhappy wide receiver happy if you are not going to pay them. And if you're San Francisco and you plan on paying him, you can live with an uncomfortable couple of months. That's what happened with Deebo Samuel. You remember, Deebo Samuel was adamant. Trade me. I do not want to be here. They eventually paid him, and all of that conversation ended. If you as an organization have decided that Brandon Ayuk is not part of your future and that you are going to trade him eventually, do it now. Because we have seen time and time again what keeping unhappy wide receiver in your locker room means. I didn't maybe fully understand it at the time with Tyreek Hill, but now I think I see it a whole lot more clearly. That's exactly what the Chiefs were trying to avoid. Yes, we can say, well, you're under contract. Just shut up and go back to work. We think that was about to happen with Tyreek Hill. We've seen this storyline play itself out way too many times. If you are not paying Brandon Ayuk, you have to trade him. You might not want to trade him. And I get you want to squeeze one more year out of that rookie contract. I'm telling you, it will blow up in your face. You cannot make unhappy wide receiver happy. That is not how this works. So trade him. Trade him to Pittsburgh. Take your second round pick. I'm guessing they want to get a first round pick, but kind of what happened with L'Jarius Sneed is happening with Brandon Ayuk. We know you guys aren't going to pay him. Why would we then let you off the hook? We got to pay him on the back end. So you want us to pay him and make him the third highest paid wide receiver in the league, and you want the 24th overall pick? No, you are not getting both. You can get one of the two. You are not getting both. We'll give you the 42nd overall pick and something else, and then we'll take this contract off your hands. This is almost exactly what happened with L'Jarius Sneed. Minus the injuries.
Isn't this a little different than those Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown scenarios? Because what does everyone keep saying about this draft, Carrington? Oh, this is one of the best wide receiver drafts we've ever seen. It's so deep. 7-8 could go in round one. The first 4 or 5 could all be stars. Like, there are just so many wideouts. If you're a wideout needy team, why would you give up precious draft capital and cap space on Brandon Ayuk when you can draft someone who could, wait for it, turn into Brandon Ayuk? If you're the Bears, I'm cherry picking a team. What's better, Brandon Ayuk or Rome Odunze? Probably Ayuk, but the contract changes the calculus. If you're the Steelers and now you're, you know, trying to figure out if you can take a step forward, you just trade Deontay Johnson. What's better, taking A.D. Mitchell or trading for Brandon Ayuk? I think they're kind of the same. Isn't the amount of receivers in the draft going to drive down Ayuk's possible compensation, which means that the Niners are not going to get full value for their star wideout? I think this is a bad time to be doing it.
Coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by our final guest of the day. Cody Tapp is going to join us on the show. We'll get his thoughts on what the Chiefs should do in the draft, and we'll also kind of go around the draft just a little bit and talk of some of the top storylines. We are about 26 hours away from the start of the NFL draft, and we will have the answers finally to who will go where. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Remember to follow the show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by DePasquale Moore. Car wreck? Get the money you deserve. Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Kansas City, it's Isaiah Pacheco. You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
We'll talk about this here coming up in a bit, but the Bengals, why didn't we have Drew on just 5 minutes ago? The Bengals, their defensive end, three-time Pro Bowler Trey Hendrickson, who's a really good pass rusher, he is requested to be for a trade. He wants out of Cincinnati. He is due to make $15 million this season and is looking for more long-term security than Cincinnati has been willing to offer. So Trey Hendrickson wants to be traded, and T. Higgins has also requested a trade because they have not had contract talks in over a year. Now, no one cares about this. No one feels bad for the players. I get that. What Cincinnati is doing with T. Higgins, it should be a violation of the CBA. The purpose of the franchise tag is to extend your negotiating window with the player. Cincinnati is violating that. I don't know how you can do that. It doesn't make sense to me. You should not be able to franchise tag a player and stop him from going to free agency and then you not negotiate in good faith with the player. You should not be able to do that. I know no one cares about NFL players. They can play on whatever field. They can play on whatever day of the week you want them to play, whatever continent you want them to play on. I know nobody's looking out for the player's best interest. Not even their own union looks out for their best interest. But my goodness, you cannot do that. T. Higgins, I'm here to tell you are not getting traded. They are not trading you. No. Trey Henderson, they might trade you. T. Higgins, they are not trading you. Nope. You're gonna be unhappy in Cincinnati for at least this upcoming season, especially after the year you had last year. Like, you think you can start pulling a little bit of weight around when you wasn't balling out last year and you was hurt for most of the season? No, that is not how this is gonna play itself out. Our last guest for the day, maybe our best guest of the day. A man who every day pushes me to be the best version of myself. Cody Tapp joins us on the show today. Cody, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How about you guys?
I'm doing fantastic. I guess I'll ask you about Cincinnati. Do you think they're trading Trey Hendrickson?
Yeah, they'll trade him. Mostly because that's the kind of player you trade. You're like, close to 30, owes $15 million, wants $120 million. I'd probably move from him. T. Higgins ain't going nowhere. I'm kind of with you there. Just, they're not going to close their window of opportunity with Joe Burrow coming back from injury until they at least get some wide receiver in the building they can trust. So I guess they'd trade Trey Hendrickson. Why not?
Yeah, no, I just – the Hendrickson thing, if he's available – now, you know, this isn't the NBA. You requesting a trade does not mean the NFL team is going to trade you. Like, it is a trade request. Like, the team can say no. Like, you can go up to your boss and say, hey, I want a raise. Your boss can tell you no, shut up, and get back to work. Like, that is a possibility here. I mean, if Trey Hendrickson is available and he's a pass rusher that has a proven track record of getting to the quarterback, now it comes with a new contract, and are you ready to sign that deal? But there should be a handful of teams that are very interested in adding a proven pass rusher to their team.
Especially because the price tag on these players has really come down to a much more affordable level, in my opinion. So, like, Trey Hendrickson is probably available for, like, a second or third. It didn't cost you a first. It doesn't cost you multiple picks the way it used to. He's probably available for just, like, a normal pick. If it's a normal pick and you got to hand out a contract, you'll figure out a way to make the money work. I always think, think about Detroit. They paid Sewell today. They paid Amon-Ra St. Brown. They're going to pay Goff in a year or two, and they got other players to pay to. The 49ers have like seven players they paid over $15 million per year, maybe on their roster right now. There's always some way to negotiate it if you're willing to have the player. Usually it comes down to if that team wants to pay that player. you could afford to pay Tyreek and Waddle if you're Miami. Chiefs didn't want to pay Tyreek, so they moved on. It just depends on who you want to pay.
Yeah, I mean, Trey Henderson last year had 17 and a half sacks, and he is now potentially
– that's cheap.
Yeah, I mean, potentially available. I also understand why if you're him and you got 17 and a half sacks last year, I can understand why you're $15 million a year. That is not enough for what you guys are asking me to do. He has had a great career in Cincinnati. 14 sacks, 8 sacks, 2 seasons ago. Battle injury, had 17 and a half sacks last year. One of the top pass rushers in the National Football League. All right, Cody, let's get to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm sure you guys have talked about it ad nauseum on your show. What do you want them to do in round one? They have two clear needs, offensive line or wide receiver.
Wide receiver, just because of depth. Look, I guess if the perfect offensive tackle slid down the draft, cool. But, I mean, like, legitimately, over the last 15 years, how many times has someone said, day one starter at left tackle, available at 32? Like, once? I don't know. I mean, sometimes you get lucky and you find that guy in the second or third round and they start for you at tackle day one. But at 32, no, I'm not tackle shopping at 32. So unless they're going to trade up, and I still think the tackles are going a little higher than that, I'm not excited. So I'll just take a wide receiver. I might get, you know what's funny about pick 32? There's still a decent shot. You get the second best wide receiver in the draft. Like, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be the best one. I'll just concede that. And look, odds are, Odunze or Malik Nabers or Brian Thomas, or any of these other guys, are the second best. But would you have thought, based on all the wide receivers that went ahead of Rashee Rice, he was going to be the second best rookie wide receiver last year? Because he was, only behind Puka Nacua. So at pick 32, there's a chance I get the second or third best rookie wide receiver in the entire class, which is 700-800 yards in most years. I'll take that immediately. I'll figure out tackle in either the veteran game or – I'll draft someone in the second and third round, and I'll just let, you know, I'll let him and Wanye Morris duel it out to the death.
Yeah, that's kind of been one of my takes on this thing is, I mean, we are going to see tomorrow and or Friday how they really feel about Wanye Morris, right? Like, if they draft Tyler Guyton in round one, it tells me everything I need to know. Like, we can say, oh, it's going to be a competition. No, the guy that they spent the first round pick on is ahead of the guy that they spent the third round pick on. Or let's see how this thing plays itself out, because you remember last year they got Donovan Smith directly after the draft. So I think at least, I mean, if this team goes wide receiver and corner in round one, I don't think that they are starting a third or fourth round rookie left tackle. And it's probably Wanye Morris's job to keep in that scenario. I think he is maybe the one whose job is on the line of all the players currently on the roster, depending on what they do tomorrow night.
Look, I know you don't want to start a second-year, third-round left tackle, but can we admit that it's not like because they've gone cheap on the offensive line, they have at one point paid Joe Tooney to be the highest-paid left guard in football. They spent a premium pick at center in the second round. They have the highest-paid right tackle in football. And look, they got lucky with Trey Smith, but it's not from a lack of resources. So if the one position you have to start, and it thinks that it's left tackle, has to be on the cheap for a year because you're not picking high enough in the draft and probably never will, I don't know, man. I'll probably take the chance, if we're being honest, that Mahomes will make it work. There is no quarterback in the NFL who does a better job mitigating sacks than Patrick Mahomes. Orlando Brown Jr. admitted as much in an interview once when he had said, I probably should have like six or seven sacks, given up six or seven sacks, and I've given up like two. So he knew. He knew when he was here that that was the case. So, like, I don't know. Maybe it's because I've wanted wide receiver for years. And there's other years in which it made more sense, but the other positions don't make any sense to me. You know who I'd take over offensive tackle? Unless, like, the dream guy fell. Defensive line. Why would you watch the Steelers be good for, like, 50 damn years and realize that the only thing they do is just take first-round defensive linemen because there's no amount of too many good defensive linemen you can have? I'd rather take Johnny Newton if he was there at 32 than, I don't know, the fifth-ranked offensive tackle or sixth-ranked offensive tackle.
Yeah, I don't mind the fifth or sixth rank offensive tackle in here with just how people talk about this class. I mean, they're going to be in a position just by the definition of where they pick. Now, I don't think they're making some drastic trade up. Maybe they do something like similar what happened with Trent McDuffie, but I don't see them being a team that's going from 32 to 19. Maybe they go up to like 24 to go get their player. I don't think they're going up too much higher than that. I mean, just they're going to be in a position where they take either the fifth best or sixth best offensive lineman or the fifth or sixth best wide receiver. It just comes down to which one they like more.
Yeah, I think that that's probably right. And look, that's what's fun about the wide receiver stuff is Once you get past the first three, those are in a class of their own. I think Brian Thomas, unless you believe the Dane Brugler injury stuff, tends to be kind of in that secondary class by himself. And then everyone else is just throwing darts. Like, are you totally sure that Xavier Worthy or A.D. Mitchell are better than Ladd McConkie or Leggett or those? I'm not. I mean, they might be. But based on last year's draft and, I don't know, the last 20 years' worth of drafts, we can't be sure. So just as long as the Chiefs guy's there at 32, and it feels like because of the number of options available, it'd be hard for, like, at least a guy you like not to be there. I still don't rule out trade up or trade down, though. I mean, they tried to do both of those things last year. They tried to trade up. No one would take their call. They tried to trade down, and everybody was trying to send them too far down into the second round. So they didn't want to pick a 32 last year. I don't know why they'd want to pick this year necessarily.
Right now, we're talking to Cody Tapp joining us on the show today. Happy to get his thoughts on the NFL draft. I really like A.D. Mitchell. Is there a wide receiver that you like?
Yeah, I like Leggett. I like A.D. Mitchell fine. I think I might have to trade up for him. I like Leggett. He's only 1 year worth of production, but I don't care. He stayed in the system. He is big and tall and fast and can track a deep ball, all things I like. And I just think he profiles as a different type of receiver than they already have. So I don't think they've got a guy, you know, that can run at that speed that far downfield. You get to use Rice more in the middle because of the way he's built. And then Hollywood Brown can be just the little bit of everything in between guy. I like Ladd McConkie too. There's a couple of guys I'd probably be okay with there. If I had a choice at 32 and he's just sitting there, I might take Leggett, but he might be available later in the second round. They'd know better than me.
Yeah, that's the thing about this draft class that I think is so interesting. For like a guy like Keon Coleman, for example, I loved his game at Florida State, and now no one thinks that he's a first-round candidate. So I'm thinking, wait, you're telling me that the Chiefs could get Tyler Guyton in round one, and then Keon Coleman could fall to maybe the middle part of the second round, and you could go get him a 6'4", 6'5", go-get-it guy, high-point attack kind of guy? Like, that's a guy I'm really interested in. I think what's fun about this wide receiver draft class is everybody kind of has their favorite. It kind of feels like the year that they had the number one overall pick on a much smaller scale. You remember, there was like 9 different quarterbacks that everybody liked.
Thank God they took Eric Fisher, by the way.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Go back and look at that draft. Jesus, they could have had the next 29 picks after that, and I'm not sure a single one hit. They might have gotten the only decent first-round pick in that whole draft.
Right now, we're talking to our guy Cody Tapp joining us on the show today. Cody, I'll get you out of here with this. I think the Broncos are the big surprise in this draft class. I think they're the team that could potentially move up with the Patriots or potentially move up with Arizona to make that pick. Is there a team that you're kind of looking at that could potentially come out of nowhere and really shake this draft class up?
Unless Jaden Daniels, that's the one. People think if for some reason he didn't go two and we all had it wrong, I wouldn't be surprised because of the Raiders and Antonio, you know, and Antonio Pierce's connection and all that stuff to see them go to three and just kind of make a hero offer to the Patriots. But the Broncos make the most sense to me too. And here's why. Like, just really convince me. Okay. So I am dead set. And maybe this is my own theory. Sean Payton did not want the Denver Broncos job. He wanted like 4 other jobs, and nobody would hire him. So eventually he took the Broncos job, even though he hated Russell Wilson. He didn't think it was a good set of talent, but he's like, screw it. If this is my only offer, I can't wait 2 years, might not get another job. Takes the job. They pay him $18 million a year, nice little aside. And then he immediately runs Russell Wilson out of town. He's benching him for Kendall Hinton in week 13. He didn't care. He'd play anybody at that point. So he throws Russell Wilson out of the game. And I'm to believe that Sean Payton, who was going to try to make this job his own, wanted his own stamp on it, wanted different jobs anyway because of the better quarterback jobs. You're telling me he's starting the season with Zach Wilson? No way. No way. He's not starting Stidham and Zach Wilson and Ben DiNucci. That's the 3 quarterbacks on that roster. I think they trade up for a quarterback for sure.
That is Cody Tapp joining us on the show today. He is our last 6'10 host joining us to give us his thoughts on the NFL draft. Cody, really quickly, how many people do you think will be at the game tonight for the Royals?
Oh, man. Okay. 19,510.
Okay. All right. Let me I appreciate you. Thanks, you. That's our guy, Cody Tapp. Thanks, Cody.
No problem. Thanks.
All right, bro. That is our guy, Cody Tapp, joining us on the show today. Always appreciate him joining us on the show. Always appreciative of that. Rob, how many people did you have on the show or at the game today?
I had 10,100.
Okay. Do you want to do tomorrow for the day game, or you just want to just go ahead and just call that one?
I think we should go ahead and call that one.
Okay. You don't want to do the day game tomorrow, because I'm happy to do the day game in the 5 o'clock hour if you would like to do the day game. They do have a day game tomorrow. We can play the attendance game for there and give out a pizza if someone gets the day game attendance. Maybe we let you guys pick 913-586-7610. We can do that, I guess, to end the show today, maybe around like 5:15, 5:20. We can do a real quick Price is Right for the day game tomorrow. Am I crazy that maybe it's just you watch too much college football, and you know how it is. Like, you watch too much college football and then you just like fall in love with somebody, right? I really, really love Keon Coleman. Like, I think Keon Coleman in the right situation has a chance to be a really, really good NFL player. I thought he was a great college wide receiver. And now that he's available, we're like finding all these other guys that make a lot of sense. Talking about 6'4", 215. He was a high point attack the ball player for most of the season. I really like Keon Coleman, man. I thought he was having a great year at Florida State last year.
First off, Keon Coleman, former KU commit. Keep that in mind.
Mm.
Secondarily, I like Keon Coleman too. He's just not the style of receiver the Chiefs have ever targeted. Every time the Chiefs, you know, have a whiff of smoke connected to a jump ball, go get it, contested catch guy, the text line gets all hot and bothered by that person. The Chiefs do not target those guys. Outside of the Kelvin Benjamin, basically a tight end era, have the Chiefs ever gotten that, hey, jump ball, contested catch guy? The last guy they had like that was Dwayne Bowe.
No,
so
you're, okay.
I like him, but I don't like him on the Chiefs.
I guess I'm with you. This would be my question, and this is obviously not a Rob problem. This is a Chiefs problem. What kind of receiver do they draft well? Like, you're saying, hey, the Chiefs don't like this kind of guy. The Chiefs are not good at drafting wide receiver. Rob, in our life, how many good wide receivers have the Chiefs drafted in our life? Three?
Who's the third?
I mean, Bo Hill and Rice.
We're counting Rice as good already?
Yeah, I mean, I would consider Rasheed Rice. Okay. I'm saying is we think they have drafted three good receivers in 20 years. They don't have a type. They're not really good at drafting the speed guy. They're not really good at drafting the 6'4", go get it kind of guy. They are not a good organization at drafting wide receivers. So I don't want to hear well, that's not the kind of receiver that works for the Chiefs. Then who works? Because people told me that Sky Moore was going to be Julian Edelman. Oh, man, he's going to be a great yard after the catch. You put him in this offense. Have you seen any of that since they have drafted him? Mecole Hardman, he was supposed to be Tyreek Hill 2.0. It didn't work out like that. They're not good at it. They have drafted three good receivers in 25 years.
I mean, I agree with you. I would just tell you that short, quick twitch, there's a draft term for you.
Ooh, love a quick twitch.
Quick twitch can win off the line of scrimmage are the guys they have typically highlighted. Like, what was the thing about Rasheed Rice the season that went on that people liked? He would win on the line of scrimmage, catch it, and make a play. Mecole Hardman was supposed to be that. Sky Moore was supposed to be that. Tyreek Hill, when they drafted him, hoped would polish into that. He did, obviously. Outside of that, it's not a whole lot of skills you go, oh, they're targeting that. I would say quick twitch, win on the line is what they target. Doesn't always work out, but that's what they look for.
Rarely works out for the Chiefs. I mean, I would just say, I mean, there's some positions they draft really, really well, right? They draft really, really well. When they have, like, really pegged a tight end, it is work for them as an organization. They have done, I mean, there was a 15-year stretch there where they just didn't miss at running back. I mean, they're linebacker. They've drafted really well. As an organization, they do not draft wide receivers well. And now we kind of, hey, you guys got to be better at this.
Corner, they've been really good.
They've been phenomenal at corner over the last 15, 20 years or so. This is just not a position that they are very good at. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to talk about the NFL draft. We will play a little bit of Royals Prices Right. We'll do that kind of closer to the end of the show than the top of the hour. We appreciate you listening. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.